الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سبقهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, respected brothers, sisters, respected scholars, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. MashaAllah, it's nice to be in Peterborough. First time I've been, besides the times I've come for a passport. This is the first time, alhamdulillah. The topic is the final days. One may ask the question, why does a person want to know about the final days? What's the reason? If we look into one of the most renowned ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is related by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, and it's known as the Hadith of Jibra'il, where Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, one day we were sitting in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a man all of a sudden entered the room. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his knees next to the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that none of us recognized him. None of us recognized him, and nor were there any signs of travel upon him. Meaning, if he was from Medina, we would have recognized him. If he was a traveler, well, you had the desert environment, he would have had signs that he had traveled in the desert. So none of us recognized him, and nor did he have any signs. He had very black hair, he had very white clothes, so there was no signs that he had traveled. He came and he sat next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his knees next to the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What is iman?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him what iman was, and then he affirmed the answer. And Umar says, "We found this very strange. You ask a question and then you affirm the answer." Then he asked about Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about Islam, and then he said, "You have spoken the truth, you are right." And Umar says again, "We found this very strange." Then he asked about Ihsan, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him what Ihsan was, and then he affirmed it again. And then he said, "Mata sa'a?" When is the final hour? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alama min as-sa'il." The one who's being asked, that knows no more than the one who's asking. Meaning, you don't know, nor do I know. So then he said, "Akhbirni, fa akhbirni an ashratiha." Tell me the signs of the final hour. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An talid al-amatu rabbataha," that when a slave girl will give birth to her own master. What this means, ulama give many interpretations. And then he said another thing. He said, another sign of the Day of Judgment, "Antara al-huffatul urratul a'la riya' al-sha'i yatatawaluna fil bunyan." He said, you will see al-huffatul urrat, the barefooted, half naked, destitute, riya' al-sha'i, shepherds, yatatawaluna fil bunyan. They will compete with each other in making the highest buildings. And then he left. And after a while, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Umar, do you know who that was?" "That was Jibra'il. He came to teach you your deen." No narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has so many arqan, so many asools, so many fundamentals of Islam as the hadith of Jibra'il. And you see in it, it also speaks about the final hour, the final day, the signs of the final day. Why does a believer need to know the final day and the sign of the final day? See, this is the role of the prophets. When the Quran speaks about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Amma yatasa'alun anin naba'il adheem." They dispute regarding it. They ask each other, regarding what? Allah says, "Anin naba'il azim." The word naba'il azim means the great matter. The great matter. The word naba comes from the word nabuwa. The word nabuwa means prophethood. Because one of the functions of a prophet is that he informs you about those things which will come. And the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the believers. Why did he inform the believers? Because see, when you hear the prophecies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he prophesied 1400 years ago, it strengthens a believer's iman. One marvels, how did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived in a rural area, in the desert, 1400 years ago, and he said many, many things which throughout history have come to pass. And you can say nothing when you see these signs. A believer strengthens his iman, and he says nothing besides Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a man called Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr was very eloquent, but he was a mushrik. He would always debase the Muslim, defame the Muslims. So one day they caught him in one of the battles. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, Messenger of Allah, let me knock his teeth out. Let me knock his teeth out. So next time he tries to speak ill about the Muslims, his tongue will come out and people will laugh at him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. And then he said to Umar, he said, Umar, what about maybe a time will come that Suhail will stand somewhere and he will use his eloquence and you will be happy with his eloquence. Suhail embraces Islam later on. The Messenger of Allah passes away, and after he passed away, there was a huge rebellion in the Arab Peninsula. Suhail was in Mecca. And Suhail stood up, and many of the people in Mecca were about to rebel. And Suhail stands up, and he uses his eloquence. He uses his speech, and he quashes the rebellion. And Umar is in Medina, and they tell Umar ibn al-Khattab, they said, oh Umar, the people of Mecca were about to rebel, and Suhail, with his eloquence, he quashed the rebellion. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in Medina, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his true messenger. There was a Sahabi called Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu. He was a prince. He was the leader of his tribe, the Bani Ta'i. And he says, I came into Medina, here's a prince, he comes into Medina. And he says, I'm walking with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the streets of Medina. And all of a sudden he stopped by this African slave woman. And she says, oh Muhammad, speak to my master. Oh Messenger of Allah, speak to my master, for he overburdens me. And Adi says, I knew from this incident that this man wasn't a prince or a king, because you can't stop kings and princes in the middle of the street. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, he said, hold my hand and take it to any street in Medina and ask me for assistance and I will assist you. And Adi says, I knew that this man was something special, because the lowest people that you could have in society were the females, and then after the females, the African slaves. And the Messenger of Allah saying, take me anywhere and I will assist you. And then he goes to the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Adi, embrace Islam. And Adi said, I'm already a person of religion, I'm a Christian, I don't need to follow any other religion. So the Messenger of Allah said, I know more about Christianity than you do. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to explain Christianity to him. And Adi is astonished at the knowledge of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Adi, a time will come that the woman will travel from Iraq all the way to Mecca all by herself, and nobody will interfere with her. From Hira in Iraq all the way to Mecca, and she will do tawaf and nobody will interfere with her. He said, oh Adi, a time will come that we will take the palaces and the jewels of Hurmuz bin Kisra. Hurmuz bin Kisra was the Persian leader, the most powerful man on the face of this earth. And Adi said, Hurmuz bin Kisra. And the Messenger of Allah said, Hurmuz bin Kisra. He said, "Oh Adi, a time will come that a Muslim will go out to give his zakat and his sadaqah, and he will find nobody there to accept his zakat and his sadaqah." Adi, later on, he embraced Islam. And he says, "By Allah, I with my own eyes saw women traveling from Iraq all the way to Mecca, all by themselves, did tawaf around the Kaaba, and nobody interfered with them." He said, "By Allah, I was in that army which defeated Hurmuz bin Kisra." And he said, "I swear by Allah, a time will come." It hadn't come yet. He said, "A time will come that people will go out and give their zakat and sadaqah, and there will be nobody there ready to accept their zakat and sadaqah." In the time of Umar ibn Khattab, in certain provinces, this happened. In the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, his governor of North Africa, Yahya bin Sa'id, he went out, he found nobody who was eligible for zakat. So he sent a letter to Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahmatullah alayh, and Umar ibn Abdulaziz said, "Find some non-Muslim and give him the zakat." He found no non-Muslim who was eligible for zakat. And then he said, then he wrote another letter, and Umar ibn Abdulaziz said, then find a slave, find somebody and spend it upon that person. But see, throughout history, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with prophecies. But the believer is not interested. The believer, if you study the prophecies of the message of Allah, wallahi, this in itself is enough for a person to believe. You heard of a man, what's his name? Go on, say it. Nostradamus. You heard of Nostradamus? Nostradamus lived in the 1500s. If you look at his prophecies and his prediction, they're vague, they're woolly, they're ambiguous. But since the 1500s, his books have never been out of print. People take his word as revelation. They take his word as revelation, whilst the prediction of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are bang on, are clear. 1400 years ago, he predicted things, and you see them happening even now. In front of your eyes, you see them happening. So you had another reason why a believer studies the signs of the day, or the signs of the final hour, is why? Is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned people. He warned the believers. And when he's already been warned, he sees these signs and he stays away from them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Dajjal will come, and many people will say, "Oh, Dajjal's in town, let's go and see what's happening." So they will go and see what's happening with Dajjal, and they will get caught. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they will get caught up in the fitna of Dajjal. They will get caught up in the fitna of Dajjal, because that will be a time when people will not have much knowledge. So they will say, "Yeah, Dajjal's in town, I wonder what he's handing out. There's a guy called Dajjal in town, let's go and see. Maybe he's giving some umbala out." So they will go and they will go and check out Dajjal, and they will get embroiled in the fitna of Dajjal. See, there are certain things. There are certain things only Allah knows. Let me mention two of those things that only Allah knows. One is the time of your death, and one is the final hour. And they have a deep relationship. How do they have a deep relationship? See, the reason they have a deep relationship is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu." Whoever dies, his qiyamah has started. The day you die, that's your qiyamah. And this is known as Qiyamatu Sughra, the small Qiyamah. And then you have Qiyamatu Kubra. And also only Allah knows when that will occur. And that will be after the final hour. See, the relationship is what? The relationship is this. See, nobody knows when they're going to die. When the angel of death comes and he comes to you and you say, "You're here. Why didn't you phone me before you came down? You know, you live in England, everybody's got a mobile phone. You should just let me know. read a couple of rakats, you know, prayed two rakat, done a bit of tawbah. You know, why don't you send me a postcard? He'd say, I sent you enough postcards. Do you see the children dying around you? Do you see the babies dying around you? That was your postcard. Do you see the youth? Many youth, mashallah, here. Do you see the youth dying? Nobody has a guarantee of tomorrow. Wasn't that a lesson? Wasn't that a sign? Didn't you see how I brought the tsunamis and the hurricanes? How I destroyed cities? How I brought down villages? Didn't you see your hair going grey? Wasn't that a sign? Didn't you see the wrinkles on your face? Wasn't that a sign? These are all signs. He said, I sent you enough signs. And similarly, the final hour, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends signs. He sends plenty of signs. And nobody knows when it's going to occur. But wallahi, there is no doubt that it will occur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the final hour in the Quran, amazing. He said, اقتربت الساعة. اقتربت الساعة. He said, the final hour is close. For those who know the Arabic language, اقتربت is ماضي, is past tense. Why is Allah using past tense for something which is gonna happen? Because in the Arabic language, if something there's no doubt that it will occur, then you use the past tense. And the day of judgment and the final hour will occur, and there is no doubt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اقتربت الساعة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنا وسعتك حاتي بؤثت وأنا وسعتك حاتي. He said, when I was sent, me and the hour are like this. This is how close we are. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention about the final hour, he would raise his voice. He would become passionate. His eyes would go red. His cheeks would go red. His veins would come out of his neck. And he was like a person, like a general who was warning regarding an oncoming army. That an army is about to attack you. This is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was regarding the final hour. The final hour will occur. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it quite clear. But the thing is, what have me and you prepared for the final hour? What have me and you prepared for the final hour? That's the main thing. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a beautiful hadith. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to start the salah. He said, Allahu Akbar. He was about to start the salah. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu came in. And he said, oh Messenger of Allah, mata sa'a. When is the sa'a? When is the final hour? And the Messenger of Allah carried on with his salah. He finished his salah. He turned around. And he said, who asked that question? And he said, me, oh Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma adatta laha. What have you prepared for the final hour? Don't ask when it's going to occur. Watch the preparation. What actions have you done? And he said, oh Messenger of Allah, I don't have many salahs. I don't have many fasts. And the ulama are unanimous on this issue. This doesn't mean that he didn't pray. It didn't mean that he didn't fast. It meant that compared to some of the other sahaba who prayed more, who fasted more, his fasts were less. He said, I don't have much fasts. I don't have much salahs. But one thing I do know is that I love Allah and His Rasul. I love Allah and His Rasul. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma man ahab. On the day of judgment, you will be with that person that you love. On that day, on the day of judgment, you will be with that person that you love. Whoever you love in this dunya, and Allah knows what's in your heart. Allah knows what's in your heart. You can say all day long, I love Allah and I love His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But your actions belie your statement. Do you understand? You can deceive everybody around you, but your actions belie your statement. And Allah knows what's in the heart. Who's your role model in life? Because your role model in life is the role model that you will have in the hereafter. Al-mar'u ma man ahab. Man will be with that person that he loves. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, He said, there was nothing more pleasing to the Sahaba than to know that in the hereafter that they would be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from the south a wind will blow. And that at this time, when the wind will blow, that no Muslim will be left on the face of this earth. No Muslims. And then shortly after this, the Kaaba will be destroyed. The Kaaba will be destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Israfil to blow the trumpet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, since Israfil was told that he will blow the horn, since the day he was told that he will blow the horn, he has never moved his eyes from the arsh of Allah, because he does not want to delay the hukam of Allah even equivalent to a blink of the eye. He keeps his eye. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can I rest when Israfil is waiting for the trumpet to be blown? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum found this very difficult. When the Messenger of Allah said, then they couldn't relax either. So they said, came back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil wa tawakkalna ala Allah, and we do tawakkal upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the day that the trumpet will be blown? Can you imagine? Allah says when the trumpet will be blown, فَفَزِئَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. When the trumpet will be blown, let me do a proper translation. It's not trumpet, it's actually a horn. Sur is horn. When the horn will be blown, everybody in the heavens and the earth will shake. They will shake, they will become fearful. They will become frightened. Is this the first time? Let me tell you about another noise which killed the nation. This is Israfil blowing the horn. Let me tell you about another nation. Another nation was who? The Qawmi Thamud. The Qawmi Thamud hamstrung the she-camel of Salih alayhi salatu wassalam. And the narrations mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed them with a noise. There was a huge scream. And as a consequence, they died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا صَيْحَةُ, that those who did dhulam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with sayha. Sayha means a loud noise. Now listen to this. Sayha means a loud noise. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ أَصَائِقَةً, that أَصَائِقَةً destroyed them. Sa'iqa is a loud noise which has a burning essence to it. Now, those who object on the Quran said, what's this? In one place, you got sayha. In the other place, you got sa'iqa. There's a contradiction. There's a contradiction. There's no contradiction. Because research has shown today, and they're doing it in universities in America, that if you can make a noise which is intense enough, it will have a burning essence. And this is why in America, in universities, they are making electricity out of sound waves. They are making electricity out of sound waves. Let me tell you the nature of noise. See, noise. At 120 decibels, your ears start to hurt. At 140 decibels, your ears pop. At 150 decibels, your rib cage begins to hurt. At 200 decibels, your lungs puncture. This is why they've done this research on mice. At 184 decibels, not only did their lungs puncture, their livers packed up. This is the nature of noise. If you can make enough noise. Now today, advanced military research, they are creating what they call sonic. They call sonic weapons. Where you don't have to shoot a bullet anymore. You will just point the noise and you will shoot the noise to a certain area. And already they can make your eyeballs vibrate. They can make you nausea. And the European Space Agency, said that we have a weapon in our arsenal which has the ability to kill. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what is the sur? What is the sur which Israfil will blow? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Huwa al-qarn. It is a horn. This is no exaggeration, you can check it up. The European Space Agency, we have a weapon in our arsenal which has the ability to kill, a sonic weapon. And they say it looks like a horn. They define it themselves. They say it looks like a horn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْخَةَ فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّائِقَةَ. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةَ. Rajfa means to tremble violently. Now, research has shown that if you make enough noise, it will pass the ears, pass affecting the ears, and it will, not only will it affect the ears, it's gone past affecting the ears, it will actually affect your muscles, your bones, and your nervous system. And it will what? It will make you tremble violently. Who told the Messenger of Allah this? And this is why when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La yashba minhu al-ulama, the ulama will never become satiated from the Quran. The most noise that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have heard in his time was what? A thunder. The thunder doesn't kill anybody. It doesn't kill. So where did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sayha, then it speaks about sa'iqa, then it, and this is the same people, the Qawm Thamud, different places. Allah says sayha, then he says killed by sa'iqa, and he said فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةَ. So the noise, so it started from a sayha, and then it became a rajfa, they began to tremble, until it became so intense that it burnt them. It burnt them. If this is the noise in this dunya, subhanallah, if this is the noise, then what will be the noise when Israfil blows the trumpet? What will the noise be? How will the noise be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts it in the Quran. Look at this. Is a shamsu kuwirat. Allah says when the horn will be blown, is a shamsu kuwirat. When the sun, the word kuwirat means when the inner part comes out and the outer part goes in. It folds up. Can you imagine? The sun. How far is the sun? 149 million kilometers away. 149 million kilometers away. Your existence depends upon the sun. If the sun went out, you would go out. 149 million kilometers. Millions of earths go into the sun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, is a shamsu kuwirat. When the trumpet will be, and horn will be blown, that sun, which is 149 million kilometers away, it will fold up. It will lose all its shine. The inner part will come out and the outer part will go in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. When on that day of judgment, when the trumpet will be blown, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all the stars that you see, they will fall out of the sky like ping pong balls. They will get scattered. They will lose their luster. You know how many stars there are? You know how many galaxies there are? This is observable galaxies, yeah? I'm not talking about, these are the galaxies that they can see. That they can see, not the ones that they can't see, those that they can see. They say there is over a billion galaxies. Over a billion galaxies. The galaxy that we live in is called the Milky Way. It's got nothing to do with chocolates, brothers. Nothing to do with chocolate. It's called the Milky Way. They say our galaxy has over 300 billion stars. They say if you gather all the stars in all the galaxies, that will be over a septillion stars. That is what? One followed by 24 zeros. Can you imagine? Look at the qudra of Allah. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the trumpet is blown, they will scatter, fall out the sky like ping pong ball. 100, over 1 septillion stars. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are observable. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. When the mountains will vanish, the mountains. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِلْنَاهَا. That we presented this amana, this responsibility of the deen. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Upon the heavens, upon the earth, and upon the mountains. Why does Allah mention these things? Because these are the enormities of the world. See, when you stand at the foot of a mountain and you look up, you get overawed. When you're in the middle of the sea, have you ever been in the middle of the sea and the depths of the night? Try it. Make sure you got good guys around you. Try it. I swear it will make you feel so insignificant. You know, often when people get lost in the sea, the boats go straight past them. The rescue boats go straight past them. The airplane goes straight over the head. What is it? In that vast sea, all you can see is one head. They don't notice them. They go past them many times. They don't notice them. And this is what Allah says. We presented this deen, this amana, upon the heavens, upon the earth, and upon the mountains. And they refuse to carry this because the mountains are one of the enormities of the world. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the mushrikeen that a day would come that the earth will be destroyed, Allah recalls it in the Quran. Allah says, Yas'alunaka anil jibal. They ask you about the mountains. They were shocked. They said, you're trying to tell me that these mountains around Makkah will be destroyed? They could not believe it.